Come on up, sweetheart, and say hello to everybody. This is my other half.
Hello, Grace. It is great to be here. Jason was with you last about a year and a half ago, and I wasn't able to make it. I really missed out, but my heart was here with you. But Jason came back with incredible praise reports and just so thrilled that he was invited and able to come and be with you. And so I get to share in that this trip. So thank you for having me. Well, I just wanted to exhort you a little bit tonight about this weekend. Very quickly, most of us know the story about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, the promise of Isaac, and how weary they grew in believing for that promise. Sarah actually grew far more weary than Abraham. It wore on her so much more because she looked at her own physical body. She looked at what was going on in her life, and she looked at other women who had children, and she didn't have any, and she was so far advanced in years. And the Lord had to send, the Lord himself, with two messengers, had to show up out of the blue and surprise them. Come have a little dinner. And in the presence of the Lord and these three messengers, Sarah still laughed when the Lord said, she will conceive and bear a son. She still laughed in their presence. That disheartenment, that disappointment ran so deep and was so strong that she still laughed even in their presence. But as we know, Isaac was conceived and he was born. And the fruit of Isaac lives today. The fruit of Isaac lives today. And you go forward on into Hebrews 11:11, where the word is talking about Sarah conceived by faith. She got the strength to conceive and bear a son by faith because she judged him faithful. So somewhere between laughing at the Lord and bearing Isaac, she stopped and went, forget this, I am going to believe you. She stopped and said, I'm going to stop looking to the left, I'm going to stop looking to the right, and I am going to believe you. She stopped and lined up with him. And as we were in worship about an hour ago, the Lord was saying to me, he is wanting to make adjustments and realignments, and I kept hearing the word order. There are things he is wanting to get in order in your lives, from little to big, to adjust and realign for you to go to that next place, so that those dreams that are in your heart, because those dreams have to do with your call, those dreams that you have let go dormant and that you laugh about in your heart saying it's never going to happen. Times pass. There's too much going on. You look to the left and the right and you're like, how's it going to happen now? Life circumstances minister to you far more than the Word does. He's going to breathe new life on those. That's what this weekend is about. The Lord had to show up himself with two messengers to breathe life on that dream again. Isaac is a dream. He had to breathe life on that dream again. And that's what this weekend is about. He has sent us to breathe that life on those dreams again and shake that stuff off. Shake it up and give you the grace and the strength to stand back up in it. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It is not too late. Stand up, rise up, man of God, woman of God, and decide, I am going to believe him. Judge him faithful. And that dream will conceive, and it will be birthed in the land. And the fruit of that dream that you carry will live for generations. It will have an eternal effect. What we carry and what we're called to do is supposed to affect eternity. And you've got to have that eternal perspective, eternal mindset. So are we here tonight? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah? Amen. All right. We're ready for God's Word? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you.
I'll just sit down and let her keep going. What? I don't need to preach. I've heard me before. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for a godly wife. I married up, that's for sure. You building God's house or are you building your house? Listen, you know, where the spirit of unity is, the Bible says there is a commanded blessing of the Lord. Come to my city, I'll show you the spirit of disunity. Hey, it's the God honest truth. You building God's house or are you building your house? Listen, God's house is people. You know, my friend Kevin that wrote that book, Victory Through Brokenness, he's also a businessman and he counsels a lot of big ministries around America. And if I said the names, you'd know all of them. And a lot of them will come to him and say, hey, how you doing? Because he used to pastor in Bishop, California for about 10 years. And I'll never forget what he said. He says that he would ask them, how you doing? And he said, well, just building the church, building the ministry. And then they would ask him, how you doing? He says, great, just building people. Just building people, there's a big difference. The church is people. If we weren't in here, this would be four walls and a roof. You know, you building your house or you building God's house? And I always say this to the older generation. What does that mean? You with gray hair? You better be sowing into the younger generation. You better be telling them where you failed in life and say, hey, let me tell you what not to do. Because when I entered the ministry with a boatload of failures, a boatload of fears and a boatload of insecurities, and I didn't have anybody to teach me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who taught me how to fight when my back was up against the wall. But I sure would have liked a papa in the faith to say, hey, don't do that. Do this. Don't go down that road. Do this. Because I failed and I did that and it didn't work. Come on, do that. That's why every now and then when I see Tommy Barnett and Matthew Barnett from the Dream Center, I want to smack both of them. Why? Because I'm thinking, well, Matthew Barnett, he's got his dad, Tommy Barnett, you know, just got to go before him and teach him some things in the natural as well as the spirit. And I say that as a compliment, not as an attack. You know, whose house are you really building? You building God's house or are you building your house? Listen, you build God's house, he'll take care of your house. He will take care of your house. You build God's house. Amen. All right. Are you ready for God's word? Amen, amen. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Actually, you know what? We're gonna start and review just for about a few minutes in Psalms 126. Go back to Psalms 126. I'm not going to go to all three of the places that we went to last night. I'll just review, but we'll stick it at Psalms 126, and then we'll go on from there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that your hand continually rests heavy upon us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive. I yield my mind and I yield my lips to you. Speak through me as I speak to the people. Father, all of the people that are watching from around the world right now, wherever they may be, whatever country they're in, whether it be a church, whether it be an office, whether it be a bedroom. Father, I thank you that your avenue of compassion through the camera will touch them and help them get a little bit farther into whatever it is that you've called them to do. And we are ever so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to welcome all those people that are watching from around the world and thank you all so much. It's an honor to serve you from his table this evening. Just passing in review a little bit, we won't turn there. Psalm 73, the psalmist said, as we started off last night, I know that God is a good God. He said, and to those that are pure in heart, I know God is good to Israel, but as for me, he said, my steps nearly slipped, I nearly backslid, and I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time. I nearly went back into the world when I looked out the window and I saw the prosperity of the wicked man. They have all the nice jobs, drive all the nice cars, get all the promotions. The rich is getting richer, the poor is getting poorer. They curse God, they mock God, what are you doing going to church? What are you doing giving all your money there? Don't you know, is there knowledge in serving the Most High? What are you doing giving your money there? What are you doing going there three times a week? Don't you know, don't you know, don't you know, they could be brainwashing, na 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 na. You ever had that from unbelieving relatives beginning to attack you? You know it's even worse than unbelieving relatives? Unbelieving believers.
Yeah.
Unbelieving believers that will come into your life. What do you think you're doing? Hey, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. I heard Benny Hinn say one time. It was so funny. He says his biggest problem is not from the world. He expects that from the world. He says it's from the church. His biggest persecution comes in from the church. Sometimes we look out there and we go, gosh, man, look at all that out there. And then we come into here. And as I said last night, some of you are living right. Hopefully we're all living right. Doing right. Raising your kids. Giving in the offerings, fasting, being a part of the local church. Because everything God does on planet Earth, people, He does through the local church. He does through the local church. And sometimes you're just barely making it. You look at Wall Street, you look at Main Street, you look at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you look at Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Arlen Specter, all of the Senate, the House, and you go, my gosh, the economy, everything that's going on, and it looks like AIG's getting another bonus. Bank of America just got fined $33 million because they're giving out, what, $5 billion in bonuses. And you think, my gosh, what's going on here? And here we come to church. We lift our hands to a God we can't see in the natural. Sometimes we can't feel Him. And we're giving and doing. And the psalmist said, man, I nearly backslid in the womb because I started getting envious in the prosperity of the wicked man. The Bible says in Psalm 73, they curse God. They're never in pain. These are the ungodly. And the Bible said, these are the ungodly who increase in riches. There's a sea of money out there, people. Money's not evil. It's the love of it that's evil. Psalmist said, I nearly slipped. So I was envious of the prosperity of the wicked man. I got some friends that I grew up with in high school that are filthy rich. And they could care less about God. Sometimes I'm laboring, raising money all around the world to feed poor people. And some of them get mad at me. Because the food's never good enough. Never enough. Never this, never that, never that, never this. That's what God called us to do. It's very easy to look outside and think the grass is greener on the other side. It's not, people. It's not. And then verse 16 says, until I went into the sanctuary of my God, then I understood their end. I know exactly. Listen, I don't want Jesus to come back tomorrow. No, because I still have a lot of family and friends that don't know Him yet. Don't know Him yet. Now trust me, when the time comes, Tara and I, we're going to check out of here. And we're going to pass the baton to our kids and say, run. We out of here. We did what we were called to do. We circled the globe. We went to the four corners of the earth preaching the gospel. Excuse me, Jesus. I'm going to get in my heavenly Porsche and I'm going to explore the four corners of the universe. I want to see what's out there. Till I went into the sanctuary of my God, then I understood therein. And the Bible goes on to say, I can't believe I was so foolish and ignorant to think that it was better out there than it is in here. See, it's been done. You can have as much of God as you want in here right now, today, right this second. He's not stuck. We are. And that's painful for us to hear. It's painful for us to hear. Then I went into Luke chapter 3 in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. Pilate, the governor of Judea. Herod, the tetrarch. And all the weird names that follow after that. They were the who's who of time. Caesar was the Barack Obama of his day. He was the most powerful man in the free world of his day. His money was all over. His picture was all over on the money. He pointed at a person, they lived. Or he pointed at them and they died. Same with Pilate. Same with Herod. They were all living in lavish. They were driving the Testarossa Ferraris. They were driving the Lamborghini Countaches. The BMWs and the Jaguars. Flew in the Gulfstream jets. Just bringing it into contemporary times. Wore the Armani suits. Had the gold, the silver. Had the palaces. Had the real estate. Had everything their heart could desire. Then it dropped down to Annas and Caiaphas. They were the high priests. They wore the ephod. They went into the Holy of Holies once a year. They tied a rope around their leg with a bell that if they were in sin and then when the glory of God was there, that thing, and they'd just yank them out. Why? Because you just couldn't go in there if you were anybody. Why? The judgment of God would hit you. You'd be dead. You waited 8 months to get a counseling session with Caiaphas. You wanted to eat at his house. You wanted to be seen with him at the movies. You wanted to go to all these different places. But the Bible says, you go into the next verse, it says, but the word of the Lord came to John. And I said, the word of the Lord for our generation, for this city, for this church, however, it's not going to come through the people who you think it's going to come through. The word of the Lord for our generation is, as I said last night, and I like this guy very much. I think he's a classy guy. I hope one day he gets saved. I hope he's watching this. It's not going to come through Tiger Woods. It's not going to come through Putin. It's not going to come through Barack Obama. It's not going to come through the people that you think it's going to come through. The word of the Lord for our generation is going to come to the people that are still on the backside of the deserts. They really are not known to planet Earth yet. They've not come up above the radar because they're still in training. And when that happens, you'll know it. You'll know it. Because the world's going to curse them. But they're going to come in the power of the Spirit of God. They're not going to come by the admiration of men. As my pastor says, this is addicting as cocaine. The word of the Lord came to John. Then we went to Psalms 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who began to dream again. We're talking about dreams and visions. Getting a vision and a dream for your life. We were like those who began to dream again. Israel was brought back from their captivity. And all of a sudden, they begin to see. They begin to believe. They begin to say. Cease. They begin to do everything. They begin to dream again. And I said last night, there are a few of you in here. A lot of you stood up last night. You've lost your dreamer. You're not dreaming anymore the way that you used to. And I used the analogy of my mother and my father when they got married back in the 1950s. My dad and mom, beautiful bride. I've got pictures of them on our shelf in my bedroom. My mom was a gorgeous bride. My dad was a handsome young man. They had dreams of having a family and dreams of doing different things. My dad never dreamed in his life he'd be dying of alcoholism with one leg in a hospital in California. My mom never dreamed she would have died of cancer in her early 40s. My mom never dreamed that her son Joseph would have never lived past the age of 5. Alcoholic, drug addict doesn't grow up and say, I want to be a drug addict, I want to be homeless, I want to be a prostitute and sell my body 5 times before noon. No, somewhere along this thing called life, bad choices, wrong relationships, circumstances, sin begins to get and tries to cloud into believers' lives. That as you're walking, all of a sudden, the devil hits your leg and next thing you know, you're walking 7 miles out of Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, speaking doubt and unbelief. Well, I think Jesus was the Son of God, but he was a prophet. No, he wasn't a prophet. He was the prophet. He wasn't a son. He was the son. Some of you need to begin to start dreaming again. You know, before I got saved, I never dreamed I'd be going through the rice paddies of Thailand, through the jungles of Thailand to preach the gospel to the Karen tribe in the refugee camps. Everybody had malaria. Everybody said to me, you can't go into this hut. They've got black water malaria. I said, you're smoking crack. I'm going in there because the Bible says I'm going to lay hands on the sick. And I went in there and I lay hands on the sick and I saw miracles when the Christians told me I couldn't. Never dreamed in my life that I'd be on the back of a camel just hitting the butt of that thing right there looking at the Sphinx and going through the northern part of North Africa and all the pyramids and everything. I never dreamed I'd live all over India and travel the trains and preach all over the nation of India. I never dreamed that I'd go all almost in every city of New Zealand and Australia, the outback, everywhere. I never dreamed I'd go through the Eastern Bloc. I never dreamed I'd be in the dumps of Guatemala and Kiev, Ukraine before I got saved. The day I got saved, I began to start dreaming again. Never dreamed I'd go into Upper Egypt. Never dreamed I'd get into the backlands of the Middle East. I never dreamed that I'd go to jail 4 times, captured by the Muslims 2x. Never dreamed any of that until I got saved, and then my life got jacked up. Because I believed, and I dreamed. You know how many Christians don't have a dream and a vision for their life? The Bible says without a vision, they cast off restraint. Or they perish, whatever translation that you read. When you've got a vision, it keeps you focused. Why? Because your focus determines your reality. If the devil can steal your focus, he's got you. Not saying you don't have challenges. My God, Tara and I have challenges all the time. Why? Because we deal with Christians. We deal with people. And as long as you've got people on planet Earth, you're going to have problems. And there's a maniac running around called Satan. He's not insane, as Pastor Dave says. He's insanity. We all have challenges. We all have setbacks and shortcomings. And he still loves us. Go figure that one. Never dreamed I'd be sitting on Mount Nebo where Moses stood 4,000 years ago. Never dreamed I'd be in Ananias' house in Damascus, Syria where Paul was 2,000 years ago. Never dreamed I'd be all through the Eastern Bloc of Moscow and the Ural Mountains of Siberia. Never dreamed my first sermon in Russia I'd get thrown in jail. Never dreamed I'd go into Athens where Paul preached on Mars Hill. Never dreamed that I'd go and I'd see a guy levitate 3 feet off the ground and float around the room. Next thing I know, I found myself in a prison in Athens, Greece. Never dreamed any of that stuff till I got saved. Why? Because you start dreaming about God using you. You start getting a vision for your life and your whole life gets ruined. Why? Because He begins to sanctify you, not isolate you. Isolation is the playground of Satan. Sanctification is when He sets you apart and begins to start doing surgery on you so that He can flow to you, get you healed, saved, delivered, and set free. Why? So He can eventually flow through you to a lost and dying world. You'd be shocked how many Christians work 9 to 5 and rent a video and think that's life. They want to make $1 million. Nothing wrong with $1 million. Nothing wrong with any of those things. That's a byproduct of the vision. That's a byproduct of the dream. The Bible says in Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in Him, He changes your heart so that your desires become His desires and His desires become your desires. And then He'll give you what you ask for. It's really quite easy. Israel said, man, after we brought back from our captivity, we began to dream again. We really began to dream. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to teach you how to get a vision. Now, you've got a vision here in this house. He's been faithful to show it to you. But there are people, I guarantee you, you better have a vision for your family, a vision for your kids, a vision for your grandkids, a vision for your finances. Man, when you're financially free, you're really free. You better have a vision for the next generation. You better have a vision for what you want God to do in your city. That's what I'm going to teach you tomorrow morning. But tonight, I'm going to teach you why you need a vision. Why it's so important for you to have a vision and a dream. Because the day's going to come when this handsome face right here is going to go south. And this is going to go south. Same with you too, ladies. You can put everything you want on it. You can do... You can cover it, you can do everything, but eventually it's all going south. And the day's going to come when we're going to stand before Him and give an account for the deeds done in the body, both good and bad. So tonight I'm going to teach you why you need a vision. Because the day is coming, capital D. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're just going to break this apart. I promise I won't preach the everlasting gospel. Okay? Amen? We'll just start at verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. Verse 2, He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are you still not carnal? For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Excuse me, Paul, believe it, it's happening all over planet Earth. For one says, I'm of Jim Martin. The other says, I'm of Jason Hamlin. Are you not carnal? One says, who then is Jim Martin and who then is Jason Hamlin? But ministers through whom you believed and the Lord gave to each one. See, Jim Martin planted and Jason and Tara came one weekend here to Dayton, Ohio, and we watered, but it's God who gave the increase. Amen. You'd be shocked how many places you... What camp did you come from? You know what they're saying? They're not saying camp, they're saying compound. Big difference. Compound's a scary word. Yeah, I live in Tulsa and the prayer center's my home and Pastor Dave's my pastor. I know all that. But it's God who brings the increase. One plants, one waters, and God brings the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything. Did you just hear that, Pastor Jim? We're nothing. We really aren't. We folks, listen. I don't care from the top of whoever you think is the head general in the body of Christ today. He's a donkey. We're the donkey that rode in. Period. End of discussion. Because it's not about us. It's about Him in us and Him through us. Nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Okay, that's cool. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Okay, this is where we're going to get into it. Alright? For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, you notice, capital D, will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone
anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he's going to receive a reward. If anyone's work on it is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as yet through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles or destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God, which is temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Okay? Now, as I said just earlier before we started, if all of us went out, guess what? There'd be nothing here but four walls and a roof. What makes a church, even though as nice as we wanted, and nice newly painted walls, by the way, here, we've got nice curtains, we've got nice lamps, we've got... Guess what? It would all be irrelevant unless there was people here. Because we are the church. We are God's building. Jesus was the chief cornerstone. We are living stones. You know what he said? Pastor Dave just said not too long ago. It's just, he said it before, but it really just shot into my spirit. You know what God's really building? A family. That's what he's building. A family. To spend an eternity with him. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not going to be in the hills and valleys of paradise. Not me. I'm going to be rocking and rolling next to the throne. I want to see what he looks like. We are his building. We are living stones called. As the Bible said just a few verses before, we will receive a reward for what we have labored for what we have done, for the dreams and the visions he's given us. We are God's building. That's why I liked my friend Kevin's statement, and I quote it all over the world, just building people. Because your destiny and your vision and your dream is tied to people. And there are people that are waiting on the other side of your obedience. They're waiting. Listen, the people in the Middle East and Kuwait, my first trip there, they had no clue who this little skinny American guy was with this massive hulk of a body. They had no idea who I was. But they were waiting on the other side of my obedience. That when I went over there and touched them... Through the obedience, they were waiting for me and they didn't even know it. There are people waiting for you in this city, at your jobs, at Bank of America, in the produce section of Myers. They're waiting for you in the shopping malls. They're waiting for you at the military base. They're waiting for you at the universities on the other side of your obedience. What's the highest form of worship? Obedience. We're living stones. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living stones. None of us are perfect. As I said last night, there's only one perfect person in here. It's JJ. Jesus Jr., Pastor Jim Martin's the only perfect person in here. No, nobody. We all fall short of the glory of God. And I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying no one's perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we leave this place. Then we're going to be a living, perfect stone. We're not going to be able to make mistakes anymore. We're going to know all things. I just hope to God when we get to heaven, we look like we're 25 and been working out in Gold's Gym for about 10 years. Amen? We are God's workers. We are God's field. We are God's building. Verse 2, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now, Apostle Paul is speaking from his apostolic calling, and this is what he's saying. Look, guys, God has called me by his grace as an apostle out of due season. Out of due season. And if you are wondering what that means, out of due season, Jesus came in his glorified body, sat down at a conference table with Paul, and taught him how to be an apostle. I can't go into all of that, but that's just the gist of it. He goes, I'm speaking out of my apostolic grace right now. He says, me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And what is that foundation? Jesus Christ crucified. No other foundation can you lay. Only one foundation, Jesus Christ crucified. It is not Muhammad crucified. It is not Allah crucified. It is not Hindu crucified. It is Jesus, the Son of God, crucified. See, what makes Christianity different? He got out of the grave. Because listen, if he didn't get out of the grave, I'd be at happy hour. Come on, let's just be honest. I'd be at happy hour. What makes it different? He got out of the grave. Christianity is the only faith on planet Earth that you need a Savior. Every other faith is man's attempt to try to get to God. But he says, no, by my apostolic grace, by the grace, God graced me to be an apostle as a wise master builder. He says, I laid the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ crucified, and no other foundation can anybody lay. So your dream and your vision better have Jesus Christ crucified foundation in it, because if it doesn't, one day it will crumble. It's the first thing they do. They built this church. They laid the foundation. Pastor was just telling me, you got a big old stream that runs underneath your back lot out there. Well, if you want to build on that, he said you've got to put, what are they called? Footers. Okay? Don't even ask me what a footer is, because I don't build nothing. IKEA is of the devil. I got a weight bench for my wife. And I said, sure, won't take me long, babe. Your husband will put this sucker together, no worries. 4.5 hours later, I said, sweetheart, they gave us extra pieces. Extra pieces in this thing. It took me forever. I'm not a handyman, so don't ask me. I'm going to pay someone to do it. Amen. Don't ask me to mow the lawn. So I'm going to pay someone to mow my lawn. Tara likes gardening, not me. My gosh. You had to put the footers down underneath. Why? So that the foundation would be able to be to support of what's going up on top of it. You know the prophetic word when Tara and I got married? Pastor Dave, she disagrees with this statement, but let me just be honest and say, Pastor Dave just basically just messed our whole wedding up. Just messed it up. Messed it up. Because he came with tongues and interpretation 4 different times. And he was so far out in the spirit, he forgot communion. And I tried to grab the ring and he wouldn't give it to me. And I was like, you can see the video. And I'm going in front of everybody. Tongues, then interpretation, a paragraph. Then tongues, then interpretation, another paragraph. Then tongues, then interpretation, another paragraph. Tongues. He said, 40 years of marriage, that's the first time it's ever happened in his entire life. Mary Corbett said, you know what? Jesus came to your guys' wedding. My friend that flew in from California thought Pastor Dave was having a stroke. He goes, I thought he was having a stroke. I just didn't get it. It looked like he was having, because you know, he started going, you can tell when Pat, there he goes. There he goes. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, he did that in our wedding. And one of the things that he prophesied over us is he says, the foundation has been laid and I'm ready to build on it. And I'm thinking, humdinger. Flipping 13 years, a full-time ministry, 80 countries. That long to build the flipping foundation? We haven't even got a blade of grass coming up yet? We haven't even put a wall? Or a steel rod? Or a root? Nothing? Just the foundation? I'm ready to build on it? Uh-huh. Because every skyscraper that goes up, as high as you see it goes up, it goes just as far down. See, because God builds generationally, people. Who can I pick on? You know what? He's not building for any of you. You know who he's building for? Her. He's building for the next generation, though we're called to do something. I'm the God of Abraham, right? Isaac and Jacob. He builds generationally. And as Pastor Dave says, Satan's not after you folks. He's after your kids. He wants to raise the next generation. He wants to raise our kids that aren't even here yet. He says, no other foundation can you lay, which is Jesus Christ crucified. Then Paul gives us a warning. He says, but take heed how you build your vision and your dreams. Take heed how you build. And he warns us. He says, you got the foundation, Hamlin. Now you're going to start building, you and your wife. He says, but take heed how you build that food ministry. Make sure you don't build that food ministry on the backs of the poor. Make sure you don't build your ministry on your personality. Don't build your ministry on the countries that you've been to. Don't build your ministry on your experience. Don't build your ministry on your gift. You build your ministry on my word. The foundation of what? Jesus Christ crucified. Build your vision, Jason and Tara, Jim Martin and Kathy, Grace Christian Fellowship, your business, your family. on the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified. Take heed how you build on that. And he warns everybody. He says, I am the wise master builder, and I have laid that foundation, and no other foundation can anyone lay, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, you can't be a loose cannon. You can't just do what you think you want to do. Because the day's going to come that every single one of us is going to stand in front of him. Some sooner than others. You old folk that are in here, you getting ready to meet Jesus. Yeah, I like what Norval Hayes says. He says, guess what? Every year that I get older is a year closer to being with the Lord. And you think, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Listen, when you get to the other side, oh my God. You're going to say, what was I even scared of? Family, I love you, but I ain't leaving. You're going to get to the other side? You just need a glimpse of the other side? Pastor Dave told me. He said, Jason, you want a vision of the other side? I said, yeah. I'd like to see my angel too. Just a personal request before the Lord. I want to see what Gabriel looks like. I want to see what Michael looks like. You know, when Daniel was praying and there was a war in the heavenlies with the prince of Persia and Michael, what did that look like? You think a Scud missile or a Patriot defense missile system has anything compared to what was going on in the heavens than when Michael was fighting the prince of Persia? I want to see all that stuff. Pastor Dave says, you want a vision of heaven? I said, yeah. He said, die enough to this world and God will show you the next. Die enough here to this life and he'll show you the other side. I mean, Paul saw it. He said, I can't even talk about what I saw. Doesn't that make your brain leak out your ear? Paul, what the heck did you see that you can't even talk about it? He couldn't even utter the words. See, that's what a vision and a dream will get you in your life. You, when you get a dream and a vision and you begin to build it on the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified, you better take heed how you build. Why? Because he warns us and this is what he says. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay which is Jesus Christ crucified. Now if anyone, okay, we have any anyones in here? Every single one of us. Isn't it interesting? He did not say, if the fivefold, if those are called to pastor, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, those that are called to missions, those that are called to business, those that are called to helps and governments and administrations. No, no, no. He said, now if anyone, that's all of us. That means Joe Public and Susie Wallpaper. That means Mr. and Mrs. Insignificant in the body of Christ. The one that sits in the back and nobody knows about. As much as the apostle that shook nations. He said, if anyone builds on this foundation, what foundation is that? Jesus Christ crucified. He said, he's really, it's going to be with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Why? Verse 13. Each one's work will become clear. Well, Lord, how is it going to become clear? For the day. Look at that D, capital D. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So everybody look up here at me. The vision that you're going to get and the dreams that God gives you to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified, Paul warns us and says, take heed how you build. Why? Because the day is going to declare it. Capital D, quotation, underline, bold letters, different fonts. The day is going to declare it. That each one of our works is going to be tested by fire. By fire. Now, anybody know how they purify gold? When they purify gold, gold in its most purest form, you can see right through it. It's transparent. So what do? They get a gold bar, they put it in the furnace, they heat it up, the bad metals rise to the top. What do? They take a ladle and they scoop off the bad metals. What do again? They heat it up 7 times hotter. What happens? More of the bad metals and bad stuff floats to the top. They take the ladle, they scoop off the bad material, they heat it up 7 times more. Eventually, gold in its most purest form is transparent. You can see right through it. Do you understand where I'm going with your dream and your vision? Must be transparent. Why? Because the day is going to test it. Each one of our works. Let me pick on Pastor Jim and Kathy because they're the lead pastors of this church. One day, they're going to go home. And they're going to stand before the Lord. And they're going to give an account for Grace Christian Fellowship, for the Bible College. Do you know what? We're going to get it twice. We're going to get it twice here in the front row. Once for our personal life of what we did, and then again for what we taught you. That's why the Bible says, you don't want to be a teacher. You don't want to be a teacher. You just don't want to do it. Why? Because we're held more accountable. More accountable. Why? Because we have, as we were talking before a couple days ago, we have the ability to put the bit in your mouth and steer you whichever way we want. That's why I believe there's a special place in hell for Karl Marx. For Muhammad. And all these people that have led multitudes of people away. See, in that day, they're going to stand before the Lord. In that day, Tara and I are going to stand before the Lord. And I always use this analogy. We're getting up there. Tara and I are walking hand in hand. Hi, Jesus, how we doing? And He's going to go say, Tara, go sit down. Oh, no, 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 no. She was with me. She made me do half the things I did. And He's going to say, no, Tara, you go sit down. You're next. And He's going to be sitting there like this. And I'm going to say, excuse me, Jesus. What is that? He says, it's my eternal flamethrower, Hamlin. Why are you pointing it at me? Point it at her. He's going to say, no. You know the food ministry that you built? You know the international ministry that I allowed you to steward? He says, we're going to see right now if you built it with gold or wood, hay, or stubble. We're going to find out what is made, the substance of everything. Well, Jesus, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm getting ready to put this thing. You know, when they roasted, you know, they tried to roast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And isn't it interesting? We call them by their pagan names. He says, you know, when he heated it up 7 times. He says, guess what, Hamlin? I'm heating it up 10,000 times that. Are you ready? And did you build it on the backs of the poor? How were you with the money? What did you do your entire life that I gave you, that international, you and your wife, that internet, what did you do with it? Now hold on, because we're going to test it by fire right now. I guarantee you, your tail is going to be between your legs. You're going to be going, oh gosh, because everything is going to be exposed. You're not going to be able to hide anything. He's going to see right through you. And guess what? If He does see right through you, you're in a good place because you're transparent. Because you've let everything roast to the top while you were still here on planet Earth. And He's going to go, you ready, Hamlin? Yeah, I think, Jesus. I think so. You sure you don't want Tara here with me? No, she's next. Age before beauty, He'll say. He says, you ready? And I say, yeah. And He's going to go, and He's going to roast me. In everything, look what the Bible says. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved as yet through by fire. See, I'm born again. I'm born again. I never touched the foundation. And He's going to ignite everything that I did, everything of the vision and the dreams that I had on planet Earth. Not only me, not only us, but everybody. Why? Because we're all anyone's. You're going to stand before Him the same way I am, the same way the Apostle Paul did. And He's going to say, okay, we're going to see how you raised your family, what your vision was, your finance, your grant, everything that you've... Well, gosh, I'm not called to the ministry and I just don't feel... No, 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 no. Many are called, but few are chosen. We're all called in here, people. We're all called because the day you got saved, you got given a measure of faith. And in that measure of faith is the DNA and the blueprints of everything God called you to do. That's why when I first got saved and I contacted Dave Roberson Ministries, what I wanted to find out was where I fit in, and I saw a little title of a tape, Finding Your Place in the Body of Christ. I found out what I was supposed to do, and we're in the middle of doing it, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that tomorrow morning. So He's going to sit here and He's going to roast everything that we built, that I built. And the Bible says things are going to burn. But He says, guess what? He says everything that is left standing is what your reward is based on when you get into heaven. And isn't it interesting? He says, not only are things going to burn, but He says you're going to suffer loss. But see, you never touched the foundation. You never touched that foundation, Jesus Christ crucified. The problem is, Pastor just prophesied it today. He just prophesied it. There's a whole lot of ministries on television and around the world that are throwing trash on the foundation. They're throwing strange fire on the foundation. They're throwing wood, hay, and stubble. And in that day, if you do not build right, it will burn. And the Bible says not only is it going to burn, but He says you're going to suffer loss. Meaning, you're going to know what you did. That strikes the fear of the Lord in me. I like what John Bevere says. He says, your reward is not based on what you did. Your reward is going to be based on what you were called to do. And he uses this analogy that is incredibly neat. You have this lawyer that walks up the day that he's going to stand before the Lord. And let's just use me as an example. Lawyer Jason. I'm going to play the lawyer. Lawyer Jason. And Jesus says, excuse me, Evangelist Jason, step up to the plate. No, Jesus. I was Lawyer Jason. I did 501c3s for churches all over Dayton, Ohio, so that they could be tax exempt and we could funnel all of that into the kingdom of God. And Jesus is going to say, Evangelist Jason, give an account of your stewardship. No, Jesus. I was Lawyer Jason on planet Earth. I went on 10,000 missions trips. I did this, I did that. And he's going to say, excuse me, Evangelist Jason, give an account of your stewardship. And the guy was a lawyer his whole life. That's a scary thought, people. That's why it's important for you to get a vision for your life, to get a dream for your life, and find out what the heck you're doing here. He says, you're going to suffer loss because it's going to burn, but thank God you're born again. You received Christ as your Savior. You threw trash on the foundation your whole life on planet Earth, but you didn't touch the foundation. You're born again, so you're going to suffer loss. And everything that is left standing with Jason Hamlin Ministries and the Genesis Project and everything that we're doing is what my reward is based on when I go in for all of eternity. Can I give you a little story? You ready for this story? It's a funny story, it's a true story, and then it's a sad story. I was only saved 2 years, okay? Just graduated from Bible college. Okay, I quit my job at the Cheesecake Factory waiting on rich, rude people. I was done. I was just done doing that. I went into full-time ministry right after Bible school. Boom, right into full-time ministry, and God said, go to India. I said, India? Lord Jesus, India. No place to preach, nobody wanted me, nobody cared. He said, go to India. I said, Lord, I don't know anybody in India. Well, once again, He doesn't answer stupid questions. See, when He tells you to do something, He just expects you to do it. See, don't let ding-dong get in the way. Because if you let ding-dong get in the way, you're going to become a Twinkie. Okay? You're going to become a Twinkie. He said, go to India. I said, Lord, I don't know anybody in India. Well, I ended up going to India basically alone. We went on a missions trip. But I went to my associate pastor, and there was about 10 or 15 people, and I said, I'm supposed to stay here. And she said, well, where are you going to preach? I said, I have no idea. Where are you going to go? I said, I have no idea, but I'm supposed to stay here. So they all left. And I was in the city of Coimbatore. I was the only white dude in a city of 3 million. The only white guy. I went to the top of the hotel, crying and praying in tongues, and read Psalms 119 and said, what am I doing here, Jesus? Oh my God, what am I doing here? Well, make a long story short, God opened up the whole country to me, and I got to go to big crusades, and I got to preach all over the place, and da-da-da-da-da. I'm coming back home on the airplane. I'm on my way back home on the airplane. We sit down. I remember because I was at a bulkhead. The exit door was right there. And I was here and he was next to the exit. And so we're just sitting there and we sit down. You know how it is when you sit on a plane. First thing I do, if they find out if they stink, because I don't like stinky people. Especially, you never done that either. Yeah. Go fly Air India and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I sit there, make sure, okay, is this guy cool? Next to me, is this guy, who is this guy? I'm checking him out. I'm not judging him. I'm just finding out, who is this ding-dong, okay? Who is this, cockroach or, what is he? Who is he? So I'm sitting there looking at the guy and he's looking at me. Hey, hi, my name's Jason. And we're just sitting there and the plane takes off and we're having a good old time and everything. And so conversation arises like it always does. And I start talking to him. He starts talking to me and he says, oh, what were you doing? I said, oh, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. And he says, really? I said, yeah, I was just preaching all over India and God just opened up so many places for me and everything. And I said, oh, and he said to me, oh, really? He says, wow. He says, for 35 years, I've been coming to India and preaching in Bible colleges all over India. And I said, well, cool. Right on. Thank you, Jesus. We got someone next to me that I can really talk to and have a good time. Oh, was this about to change? Oh, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Uh-huh. This was about to change very, very quickly. So I start talking to him. I said, yeah, I went to this crusade and I saw blind eyes open and I pulled this guy. He hadn't walked in 9 years and I yanked him out in this gift of faith. The only one and only time it's come on me in my ministry. I yanked him out and his wife started screaming and the whole family started screaming and I didn't know why, and because he hadn't walked in 9 years, and the first time he walked, he was all atrophied out and he began to start walking. The whole family got saved. The whole village got saved. And I said, yeah, I saw blind eyes and deaf ears. And he looked at me, just went silent. Young man, did you see those miracles? I said, ooh, Jesus. There goes that spiritual wall. Shunk. I said, of course. I said, right in front of me. I said, not just one, but hundreds. All over the place. And he just shut me down. And just stopped talking. And I was like, oh, it was like I branded him with a cattle iron. Did we just find some? See, I wasn't sanctified in those days. I was new in ministry, okay? Sanctified, okay? He wasn't ready for the Jason that came out later. And so we start, you know, and just went silent for a long time. Then he said this to me. And I bet you believe in Oral Roberts too, don't you? And I looked at him and I said, no, I don't. I believe in the God that called Oral Roberts, you ding dong. But I used another word. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, did we hit a sore spot? So right there, a spiritual wall went up and it got real thick and it was soundproof. He didn't say anything. So I said, okay, great. 12 hours, Jesus. So I just began to lay my head back. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, did you really see those miracles, young man? I was like, ah! I said, yes, I did. My God, sir, what the heck's the matter with you? And he says to me, and I bet you believe in speaking in tongues too. And I stood up, and I screamed him and spit all over him. You bet I believe in it, because I'm not embarrassed of the Holy Spirit, people. I'm not embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. You'd be shocked how many Christians. No. Now, I know it's your spirit that prays. It's not your emotions. But boy, did my emotions feel good. Good. I said, dude, listen to me. When I get home, give me your flipping address right now. I had to coax it out of me. Finally gave it to me. You know what I did when I got home? I got a ton of Pastor Dave's tapes and shipped it to him. Amen. Don't know. I can't do any more than that. You can't make somebody. But you can compel them, smack them upside the head a few times. Shipped him all the stuff, Arkansas or somewhere. Lord, we're in Tulsa now, so we might be close to him. Shipped in all that stuff. Listen, folks, in that day, capital D, with the vision that he has, when he stands with Jesus in his heavenly flamethrower, for 35 years, he has been preaching against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, against praying in other tongues, against healing, against all of that stuff. In that day, his 35 years in India as a Bible college teacher is gonna burn. Burn, people, burn. That's why you can't go around telling people, I don't believe in praying in other tongues. You better get into God's Word and find it. Listen, and you can't even get into God's Word because it ain't there. You can't just go say healing is not for today. The Scripture says by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. For out of every idle word you're going to give an account of. If you back up in the laws of meditation and find out what he's talking about there, he was the Pharisees were saying you cast the devils out by Beelzebub. The scribes and the lawyers and this, all of them. Who were they? They were the teachers of that day. He said, the kingdom of God has come upon you rascals. And he says, you're in a lot of trouble. You mock my ministry? Not a problem. I'll forgive you. You mock the ministry of the Holy Spirit? There'll be no forgiveness now, nor in the age to come. Then he goes on to say, he says, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Why? They were the teachers, and they were leading people astray. When you go out and say the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today, by those words you'll be justified. No, by those words you'll be condemned, and it'll burn in that day. You can't tell people praying in tongues wherever you're watching around the world. You cannot say it's not for today. Healing is not for today. Prosperity is not for today. You cannot take whatever you want out in the vision or the dream that God's given you and just say anything you want. You will be held accountable in that day. And it will burn. But thank God. Thank God. The guy was born again. Thank God. He accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, and he was born again. His foundation was rock solid, Jesus Christ crucified, but he had been throwing trash on the foundation for 35 years. And God brought a little punk. Come on, that's exactly what I was. 2 years after Bible school, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I mean, I knew I was starting to learn. I would handle it a whole lot differently today. Okay? A whole lot differently. But then I was new. But he brought me across because he knew I would stand my ground. My administration, I had to repent for. The Bible says repentance is a good thing. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Repentance is a great thing, people. Well, no one's got it all together, but he knew I would stick to ground. And boy, I could see smoke coming out that guy's ears, out of his nose. I mean, he was just turning red. And I didn't think, I ain't changing. Who the heck do you think you are? In that day, capital D, every single anyone's that we have in here, every single one of us, the vision and the dream that God's given you, you are going to stand there and your works are going to be tested by fire. Everything that you did, your motives, your stewardship, why you do what you do? Why do you hang out with the people that you hang out with? Why do you go to this church? And I know a guy, pastor, actually in this state of Ohio. I won't tell you. In fact, I'm on camera. But in the state of Ohio, he knew he had people at his church that were not called to be in his church. So on Sunday morning, he stood up and said, turn to your neighbor and say, oh, I'm so sorry. This is your last day. You're leaving. He was the senior pastor of the church. Today his church is like 7,000. He said, turn to everybody right now and tell them, thank you so much for coming. Today's your last day. You won't be joining us anymore. Because he said there was people in his church that were not supposed to be there. Why are you here? I love the prophetic word. My pastor in California taught me, you know the quickest way to leave a dumb dead church? 1 foot in front of the other, right out the back door. If there's strange fire, man, get out. Go somewhere where you're going to get fed, where you're going to go into your vision and your dream and your destiny. Why? Because in that day, listen, the Bible says our life is but a vapor. I mean, if we make it to 80, 85, where's Gramps at? There's Gramps, 85 years old. 85 years old. If we make it to that, as strong as he is your mind still there?
Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord. Not that he would say, no, it's gone, but you know. We make it to 90, you know? No. God gave me a word for him last night. His best days are ahead of him. His best days are ahead of him. We make it to 85, praise him. We make it to 90. We make it to 100. We think we've lived a long, successful life. According to eternity, boom, it's a peon. We live to 120. We're guaranteed 120 if we've got the guts to believe for 120. But even if we live to 120 and check out on our 119th birthday and 364th day, we check out to be with Jesus, that is but a vapor in the scope of eternity. If Jesus, they say Jesus is coming back soon. I believe that with all of my heart. But if he was coming back in the next 200 years, that's very soon according to eternity. To our mindset, we're like, dang, Lord. No, that's very soon. There's a whole lot that's still got to happen on planet Earth before he comes back. And as Pastor just prophesied, the church of Jesus is in disarray right now. But that's okay because victory comes at its most darkest moment. Somehow, someway, he's going to get it all done. And all of the tragedy, the rape, the murder, the wars, the everything, the injustice that is going around planet Earth and everything that's happening. And you say, my gosh, God, my gosh, God, my gosh, God. Listen, one thing that I can be encouraged of is God is a God of justice. And he will distribute justice before all of this is over. When he says, in that day, you're going to, all your works are going to be testified, Jason and Tara. Jim and Kathy, Grace Christian, you're going to stand alone on that day. And the more transparent you are is the more that you let the fire burn out everything on this side of glory. to when he pulls that flamethrower, you know what he wants to do? He wants to pull that flamethrower and blow you away and have it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It doesn't even have the smell of smoke on you. What does that mean? That you were so transparent in your motives, your money, your ministry, your church, that it didn't matter what. Everybody could see right through it. Everybody. Everybody. You know what Jesus wants us? Come here. Stand up here. You look like Jesus too. There you go. There you go. Stand like this.
Okay.
Towards them.
Towards them.
Towards them. Okay? Now, you're me, okay? You're me.
I am.
And I'm Jesus. Actually, you know, let's reverse that thing. Okay? I'm me. And he's Jesus. Come up right behind me. Put your arms out like mine. See, this is when we get saved. This is what it's like. You see all of me and none of him. But you're born again. But you're highly jacked up. Emotional basket case. Cry at everything. Lust after everything that walked in it. But you got born again. Ding! You're born again. Oh, I'm saved! Hallelujah! But no one sees really Jesus. Why? Because it's all of you. Okay? You start walking with God, walking with God, walking with God, dying to the flesh, dying to the things. Stand right next to me. Then all of a sudden, you see us both. You see him and me. Yeah, you're born again. Absolutely. You're doing what God's called you to do. But you know where he wants you eventually? Like this. That's when he throws a flamethrower at your works. And you don't even smell like smoke when it's done. That's where he wants us, to where you don't see Jason at all. You see Jesus. Now, I know Jason and Jesus sound the same. But they're not. This is what he wants to see. None of me and all of him. That's why John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Thank you. Could you imagine John the Baptist in that day? Man, he was on the front of Charisma magazine. He was on TBN, CBN, Fox News, CNN. He was all over the place and multitudes were coming out to see him. He said, I got to decrease. Man, do you know what that showed inside the man of God for him to be able to walk away? It's incredible. In closing, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If the apostle? No. If the prophet? No. If anyone, there's the anyone again. If anyone defiles or destroys the temple of God, he flips it right here. God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. In the first verses of that, he says, look, Jesus Christ crucified. That's the foundation. Take heed how you build on it. You can throw trash, but don't touch the foundation. Why? Because in that day, capital D, you're going to get a flamethrower on all your works. And everything that's burned, you're going to suffer loss. Everything that is left standing is what your reward is based on for all of eternity. Okay? God says, that's all right. You didn't touch the foundation. Verse 16, he flips it. He says, do you not know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, which temple you are. Now let me ask you a question. How do you destroy the temple? How do you destroy the temple? You destroy the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified. You start telling people that all roads lead to heaven. You're now destroying the foundation. And if you keep it up, God will destroy you. I have no problem right now telling you that there is a man named Carlton Pearson that is destroying the foundation. You can't do that. You cannot do that. You cannot tell people that Buddhism leads to heaven, Islam leads to heaven, Muhammad leads to heaven, all of these religions lead. They don't, people. I wish they did. It'd make our job a whole lot easier. I wish all roads led to heaven. Be good, you go to heaven. Be bad, you go to hell. But if that was it, then Jesus would have never had to come. He would have never had to come. He would have never had to become a man. He says, when you start destroying the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified, see, all over Fox News, not so much Fox News, CNN, BBC, all of those, you can talk about God, no problem. But when you say Jesus, you've now drawn the line in the sand. And let me tell you, it's tough when you get in the Islamic nations. It's tough when you get into India and the Buddhist nations and the Hindu nations. Why? Because I have Muslim friends, people. I have Hindu friends. I have friends that are gay. I have all sorts of friends. And it's tough when you're socializing or you cross their path. They ask me what I'm doing and da-da-da-da. You've got to make the decision. Guess what? You're not going to be popular. So don't even try. Is there the wisdom that you can use to win them? Of course. The gifts of the Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, and well, all of those is the dinner bell to salvation. That's why the evangelist, he goes out, he preaches, he throws the net, signs and wonders take place, he brings them in, and then we pour them on him. And we let him deal with them. And he puts the bib on them and the diapers. But see, you touch the foundation, people. You know what Karl Marx said? A friend of mine that came to my Bible school years ago, he got a letter by Karl Marx, the original letter by Karl Marx. On Karl Marx's deathbed, he made this statement: I'm going to hell, and I know it. I'm on my way there. And he says, I can't wait to get there. He says, but you know what even makes me more excited? That I made a pathway for millions to follow me. Millions. See, when Hitler killed himself, he thought he was getting out. He wasn't getting out, people. He was going in. But see, here's the power of the cross. That any of those people on their deathbed can repent and say, Jesus, I repent. I'm so sorry. I killed 7 million people. I repent on my deathbed. And guess what? Jesus would come and wipe his slate clean. And he would be just as righteous as you and I. Why? Because on that day that Jesus said, my God, da 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 da, and God the Father turned his back on his Son. Jesus became our sin. He became every damnable thing that Adolf Hitler was on that day. That's the miracle of the cross, people. No one else has the power to do that but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You start messing with the foundation and telling people, oh, sure, yeah, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. No, people. It's Him and it's Him only. And what did Paul tell Timothy? Those who live for Jesus Christ, what? Will suffer persecution. So get used to it. It's coming. And if you think it's not coming in America, it's coming. It's already here. It's already here. For those of you that are watching around the world, the Hindus, you're welcome in America. Muslims, you're welcome in America. Buddhists, you're welcome in America. But let me tell you something. This is a Christian nation. You have the freedom of choice, but this is a Christian nation. Founded on the Gospels, not on our military, as great as it is, not on our democracy. In fact, we were not founded as a democracy, we were founded as a republic. Big difference. It's only one way to salvation, those that are looking around the world, and His name is Jesus. You must be born again. When I was young Christian, I was praying one time and learning to hear God's voice, and He whispered, Jason, hell is full of good people. Scared me. Because I don't know about you, if I would have never gotten saved and I would have lived a moral life, paid my taxes, lived right, moral, did everything right, and then went to hell at the end of this life, I would have been mad. Because if I knew I was going to end up there, I would have lived it out here. It's not by our works lest any man should boast. That foundation was established because of His grace. And His grace is a gift. So your dreams and your visions better have eternal perspectives on them. Because in that day, anyone's, all of us, are going to give an account for the deeds done in the body. Both good and bad. And you will not be able to say, I didn't have enough money. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. No, He gave us everything when He said, it is finished. To do whatever it is He's called you to do. And if you don't know what you're supposed to do, you better be here tomorrow morning because I can teach you how to get there. Because there's people in churches, probably in this church too. This is not exempt. Prayer center where I go to, there are people that come and they sit in the church and they don't even know why they're there. They don't even know what they're doing there. And they don't have a goal or a vision or a dream or a destiny for their life. They just come in and go out. Come in and go out. Come in. Man, Romans 12 verse 1, 2 and 3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's just your reasonable service. Then you cross over there to the next verse. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might find the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Do you know what that is? That's a vision. That's a dream. Then Paul says, for I say to you, by the grace of God that it was given to me, don't think more highly than you ought. For God has dealt each man and each woman a measure of faith. The day you got born again, you got given a measure of faith. Inside that measure of faith is the blueprints and the DNA of everything that you're called to do this side of glory. But it's your job to find out. And if you really don't know, go get Pastor Dave's book and read chapter 7. I've read it over 1,000 times. It's my favorite chapter in the whole book. Praying out the mysteries of God. He who prays in the unknown tongue, pray not unto man, but unto God, ever in the Spirit, his big mysteries. Divine secrets, divine truths, hidden in Christ since before the foundation of the world. Now been made available to you and me through the gift of praying in tongues. It's a revelation gift. The more you pray in tongues, the more you take God, the Holy Spirit, throw Him out in front of your personal life. He prays the perfect will of God for your life. Hallelujah, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 See, I don't feel led in the least bit. I wish I did to lay hands on you. Some of you, I might knock you. Come on, wake up. Dance, as Pastor Dave says, dance with me now. Dance with me now. Get on board of the vision. Quickest way to your vision? Help these two get to their vision.
What about my vision?
Easy, Mr. and Mrs. Flesh Creature. My Bible says, before you get your own, you must be first faithful in that which is another man's. The reason why Tara and I have what we have, being as young as we are, is because we were faithful in what was other people's. I did everything from parking lot to pastoring. I did children's church. I did parking lots. I did book tables. I swept. I cleaned. I did everything you could do in the house of God. While I was even in full-time ministry and preaching around the world, when I would come home, I would present my body a living sacrifice, both in the natural as well as prayer in the spirit. I did everything. Why does only 20% of the church do 80% of the work? What is it going to... Listen, when you find out and you look back on your origin, planet Earth, when you get to heaven, I do not want you to say, oh my God, I can't believe I lived my life so foolishly. I'm not talking about mistakes and setbacks. We all make those. It's a condition of the heart. Because if you would get a glimpse of what your reward is on the other side, you'd live in God's house. What did David say right on his deathbed? He said, oh my gosh. I can't remember if it was when he was young or when he was old. He says, my prayer, and I'm paraphrasing, is that I will live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's a vision. That's a dream. Don't want you to say, my God, I can't believe I lived my life so foolishly. My dad says that every night before he goes to bed, riddled with guilt and shame and condemnation and fear. Doctors looked at my dad and said, you killed your wife. You gave her cancer through your passive smoking. Crippled him. Still today. Fear and condemnation and guilt and shame and remorse and despair and sorrow and grief. The only one that can heal that is the Holy Spirit. You can go to Dr. Phil all you want, baby. Those that are not on board, it's time you get on board. Wait till tomorrow morning, I'm going to hit that thing. Roast that sacred cow. Yeah, I'm tired. Man, the whole world's tired. My body's tired. Pastor's tired. But you learn to live from here. Not here. Here. Amen? Anybody here? Austin, you're called. You're called. So you're worshiping God. My little girl has stuck her finger in the light socket. And your wild hair there. Beautiful. I love your hair. Beautiful. You're called. Great call of God in your life. Should the Lord tarry, we all going to be gone. You guys are going to be the leaders of the church. You too, Mrs. Bandana. You all called. Black, white, salt and pepper back there. You guys are called. My 85-year-old gramps, you called, bro. You're called. God, you're called to share wisdom with me that I have no clue about. Tell me what you did to live to 85.
Yeah.
Because I love Mexican food. Lord Jesus.